From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. It's another day in the kingdom, and this one's going to be a good time. We have things to get to, including what the run game can and should be going forward, and we're going to run down the position group that gets probably a lot more ire than it should, but might have to play a bigger role going forward if teams play them the way that they got played in the Super Bowl 55. We're going to go over a number of those things as well as hit you with some news coming up right here in a second. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics, and your host at RGR Football on YouTube.
And I'm Chris Clark. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. And yeah, there's a little bit to talk about. Not a lot going on in Chiefs Kingdom, though, right now.
No, the kingdom is pretty quiet, right? And except for Chris Jones, who I think is starting to make a more positive impact on the community. His foundation, Sac Nation, took off today. Looks like at the Boys and Girls Club, right?
Yeah, and of course, as soon as I say that, they're going to go do something as soon as we get done recording this. But
right,
yeah, congratulations, Chris Jones, and that's awesome that you're starting your foundation, and I love that he's naming it Sac Nation. That's great.
Yeah, that should be interesting. And, you know, this is following a line of things. Patrick's Foundation, Travis's Foundation, like a lot of guys are putting into this community, and talked briefly on it yesterday about how community plays into what Patrick talks about more and more, what TJ Watt was talking with Kyler Murray about. Like, it's becoming more than just a PR aspect of the game, I think. I think a lot of players are actually buying into supporting their communities. So one thing that is not necessarily in the community, but it certainly has impacted it, Howard University has funded and founded a journalism scholarship for and in the name of Terez Paylor. And I think that connection back here to town could eventually become something that is, you know, a link between an old school, you know, a normally black college with not only this team, but this city.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad to see that this has been set up. We kind of knew that this was coming, but was not sure how long it was going to take for them to set up. So I'm glad to see that they got it taken care of. And it looks like if you go check out the Kansas City Star, there's going to be pages there that will tell you exactly where you can go to donate to that as well.
There's plenty of options. Now, before we get into our discussion of the day, a couple of little notes, two free agents that popped up on my radar with people talking about them, and we might as well discuss them before they get big, because I don't think either is going to happen. But what's your thought on Tyler Eifert not getting his option renewed? He will be a free agent.
If he wants to sign a vet men deal, yeah, but he's been too injury prone in my opinion, and I don't think he pushes the needle that much. I mean, if he can stay healthy, that's great, but you know, going with an oft injured guy has not really worked out well for Kansas City.
No, only if you can pay him in paper mache and crutches, I think. So it makes things difficult. And the other interesting one that I hear people starting to talk about is Allen Robinson. Now, let's be realistic here, folks. Would Allen Robinson look good in this offense?
Especially I brought that up already.
I know, but you were thinking ahead, and now people are, I think, kind of losing it just because of the availability aspect. There's no way that this happens, right? I mean, you tell me if I'm crazy, because I think folks need to hear it from you.
I think you're crazy. I'm not going to put anything past Brett Veach. That's my take on it. If they want to go that direction, I think they have the ability to go that direction. Is it going to be pretty in contract? No, it's not. But if Kansas City absolutely wanted to get it done, 100% get it done, then they could get it done. But it's going to take a lot of moves, and we kind of already talked about some of the moves that they're going to have to make without even really getting into what it would take to be able to make this kind of signing.
Yeah, there's a lot of steps that have to happen before
Though, the question becomes, is he going to take a lesser deal to play with a contender because he's never played on a contender? I'm not saying he takes a cheap deal, but does he take a lesser deal?
Yeah, that is the question, because, I mean, it's all give and take, right, in order to get something done. And I think if we were hearing more rumors rather than just conjecture out of people who want the player, if we were hearing conjecture from people who support the player, either their representatives or folks that are involved with their training or something like that, you might have a little bit more of a leg to stand on. But I won't believe this until it actually happens.
Well, and that's fair. And I'm not saying it'll happen. I'm just saying if they want to get it done, they can. Kansas City has the opportunity. Look at what they did last year with $177 in cap space.
I'm just going to make a new shirt that says 177. Anything can happen.
Absolutely.
And Lord, just, I think I might do that.
Just because we haven't said this yet, it was announced by the Chiefs earlier today. Tershawn Wharton ranks second in pressures among rookies at his position, fourth overall, regardless of position.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. It's a good base to function from as they take the next step in their evolution next season to support Patrick, I think, more. It's kind of a theme this week about how do you go about supporting the best player in the league? And that comes down to both the running game and the defense. That's coming up next. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are going to be back in full swing. And BetOnline even covers award shows, reality TV, all kinds of stuff. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. The promo code's Locked On for BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We're covering everything you need to know about the Chiefs, but what about the rest of the league? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by Peter Bukowski, and it's all about sports, all you need, all the news, every morning, and it's under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. It's midweek, and right down the middle, you have to attempt to find out what you can do in the middle of the field. And I think that's something that really stood out in the stretch down playoff run anyway for the Chiefs. And because of what we talked about last week with the versatility, the volatility, honestly, with the offensive line and who's going to be where, I think that line kind of gave us a couple of indications. Maybe it was just based on availability, but bringing in Kilgore and Clutchy Assembly in particular, I thought gave them a better aspect of being able to run man and power rather than, you know, the classic inside-outside zone strategy that the Chiefs really based their run game on. It looks like it might be able to be a little bit more diversified to me.
Yeah, possibly. It's going to be interesting to see how Kansas City deals with the running back position this offseason because a lot of questions with Damian opting out last year, and now you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who was your first-round pick, who played very well and I think is going to become a star in the NFL in the next couple of seasons.
Yeah, there's plenty there. And that comes down to what we saw from the guys that are going to be on this roster. And we're going to break down the whole rigmarole. There is a lot to go over in the running back group here, folks, in the next group. But I just want to simplify it here. Is that I don't think it's as straightforward as it used to be, like where you're looking for one step and go zone type runners as much. Because you saw Darrell Williams, who will be back. In all estimation, in my mind, we'll talk about that in a bit, but you saw him actually perform better in between the tackles on some of those more power oriented runs. And if they do shift the offensive line towards guys that are less zone specific and maybe either more of a, you know, dichotomy of being able to run gap and power or run zone as well, or God forbid they go towards more of a power interior offensive line, it changes, I think, about the philosophy of not just where you run the ball, but how and who as well.
That's true, although I will say I have a hard time believing Reed's going to change that from what he's done in the past. I will say, you know, kind of like what we talked about when we talked about the QBs, though, one thing that is out there is, you know, Mahomes is going to throw the ball almost 600 times next year. That's just the reality of it. So it does change who your running back's going to be because they're not going to be running the ball that much, but it also changes the type of running back you're going to want because – if you're going to be throwing the ball 600 times, one, your running back needs to be able to pass block, and he needs to be able to catch the ball in the backfield.
He does, for sure. And I think all of them do a pretty good job with that, all the guys that are on the roster at this point. But I'll actually take the counterpoint, because if we continue to see teams play those deep defense as well, especially if they're going to play two and three high safeties, the team has to be able to run the ball because that's one of the things that you can have against a light box. And I think they're going to continue to get light boxes. So for me, it comes back to who can you do that most effectively with?
But does it have to be the types of runs that we're thinking normally? I would argue that it doesn't. Like, I would argue that they're going to be doing more sweeps and jet sweeps and end arounds and that type of thing to open things up. Because when you have light boxes, you get those speed guys on the edge with, you know, very few people in front of them. You're in an even better position.
True. Although I will say, when you do hit those edges, you're running into a team's speed on the outside of corner and safety, right? Whereas if you can hit quick hitters like that draw that Clyde took in the Super Bowl, where you're up in their face immediately, if the box is that light, I would like to see them do that more. Those draws, I think, could be a more significant role in 2021. But whether it's in or out, I think that's obviously going to be team matchup based. And I think that we have to feel like Darryl runs best in between. Clearly, I think Clyde can do it all. Where do you like, if it does come down to like maybe there's an injury or something like that, A, do they need to replenish some talent here in your mind? And what do you feel about Darwin Thompson and where you like him running on the field the best?
It's really hard for me to know what they're going to do at the running back position. And honestly, you can ask about Darwin Thompson, but the real question that we have to address is what are they going to do with Damien Williams?
Oh, yeah. That's because, coming up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's really what everything else hinges on. Because Damien Williams played fantastic in the Super Bowl run. And I don't want to take anything away from what he did because he played great for Kansas City down the stretch. And there's arguments to be made that he should have been the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you just drafted Clyde last year in the first round. And like I said earlier, he's going to be a star in this league. Are you really going to pay Damien $2 million to back him up? And is he going to be okay backing him up?
That's going to be the issue, I think. And I agree with you that he is the linchpin. And that's why I wonder if you have your druthers and you're trying to put up. My question, I guess, is more about philosophy. Do you want to have a style of run game that you run? Or do you want to have what they have now, which I think is kind of a diverse stylistic group of running backs, whereas Darryl's between the tackles, Clyde's more on the edges. They both pass catch. Darwin, I think, in particular, runs pretty well off tackle, but I wouldn't put him down in the A gaps, and I don't necessarily like him hitting those toss sweeps or anything like that.
Yeah, and that's the big question. What are you going to do, and how are you going to change it? You know, the other name that we need to throw into this running back group is going to be Anthony Sherman as well. So how does he play into that? They barely use him on offense, and I do mean barely, but he is on this team. He is a running back, so that needs to be addressed as well.
Yeah, it is a roster spot. As little as usage as we get, we all know. So let's talk about how they piece this together, though.
But they take five running backs every year. That's the difference.
Yeah.
So big questions there.
So let's get into how they fit this puzzle together here after this break coming up now. Built Bar has upped the ante. Delicious, perhaps their best bar yet. If you liked cookie dough chunk Built Bar, then you're going to love coconut brownie chunk. Dark chocolate, coconut, and real brownie chunks. It doesn't get any better.
Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, and great for the keto diet. Go check out the peanut butter. It has 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. It is absolutely delicious, in my opinion. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off.
It's a limited-time flavor, so go out and get it today at BuiltBar.com. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. So like you said in the last one, it really is the question mark. The whole thing kind of rides on what do they get from Damien Williams? Now, we know that he took last season and opted out because of his mother's situation health-wise.
We hope she's doing well.
Absolutely. And hopefully she's recovered. And because of COVID, hopefully with vaccines and everything, easing the restrictions, he doesn't have to be near her every day, which lightens her exposure to him as a vector for infection, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But end of the day, let's say that he's ready to come back. And this is the thing. I like it from a motivation standpoint because he's got 1 year left under contract after opting out and just rolling it over, right? And he's 29 years old. The magic number is 30, no matter what, with running backs. You just fall off a cliff at that point. And so not only should he be motivated for the next contract with the next team or whatever, trying to get one more contract out of a big year, but that year off might have made him a little bit more spry, and he's got to hit something right now before he turns 30, in my opinion.
I agree with you. The question, though, becomes you can save almost $2.2 million if you cut him. What are you going to do? Because, you know, we already talked last week. We're what the Chiefs are, what, $30 million, close to $40 million over the cap at this point. That $2.2 million can go a long way.
Yeah.
That could honestly, that number by itself could sign Daniel Sorensen possibly.
I was just going to say the same thing. Well, and that's
we talked about yesterday.
What is he? 2.8 against the caps. You're talking 600 in debt. That's not a problem for this team. It is about the space. So are the doors open for Damien at this point, in your opinion?
Maybe a smidge.
Okay.
Honestly, it's not that I don't like Damien Williams. It's just I have a very hard time seeing what Clyde did this year with this team and them having Damien come back and Damien taking either second string snaps or taking first string snaps from Clyde. I can't see that.
Yeah, Damien's the backup, clearly, in my mind. There's absolutely no question about that. The question for me becomes the fact that Darrell Williams is a restricted free agent. All they have to do is tender him, and I don't think you're going to get much, even if they can't do an original round because he was a UDFA. So, I don't think anyone's going to give up a draft pick for Darrell. So it is nearly signed, sealed, and delivered that he will be back on a cheap contract for no extra cost, really, than what was he, $575 against the cap last year. So he's going to be there.
I think he'll be double that this year because of the tender that they'll have to give him.
Okay. And then what is that? It's either a first, a second, or original round. Is that it?
Yeah. And I'm thinking that I know you're right. He can't do the. It would be, well, actually, okay. So restricted. Okay, right of first refusal is the lowest, and that's 2.1. Second round is 3.3.
Ah, okay. So then that changes.
So then a little bit, yeah.
That to me makes it a Darrell or Damien scenario.
Yep.
So where
do you go? Darrell. Mainly because I look at Damien Williams as being, I hate saying it this way, but almost a poor man's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, I know they're not the same exact type of runner, but they're very similar. Darrell gives you something completely different than what you already have in Clyde.
Right. And that comes back to our previous discussion in the last segment. Like, do you want to have a homogenous group that kind of do the same things, or do you want that variety like you see sometimes in the way teams set up their wide receiver groups?
I think you have to have a variety.
I agree, especially if you're not going to run Anthony. And if you're not going to line up with a fullback so that he can blast, you have to have a bigger back that can do that on his own out of a single back set.
Yep.
So
yeah. It stinks because you're not going to use him very often, but yeah, you absolutely have to have something.
I agree. So that brings us back again. So if it's Darrell returning, if he's going to cost that much against the cap, it really is him versus Damien, because I can't see them saying, what are they now? That would be an additional, we're talking 9 points something against the cap for the running back group. I think that's expensive for how little that they are actually used by this offense. So let's say that Damien doesn't return. They bring back Darrell at 2.1. So you get a little bit of savings versus the way they're stacked right this second. But that's still Clyde is the starter, Darrell is the backup, and then Darwin does come back into it. Because at this point, Darwin would be your third. We'll see what they do in the draft. I think there are, 1,700 running backs out there. I mean, this is how bad it's going to happen. They might be able to get a guy like Trey Sermon on day three, maybe even late day three, sixth, seventh round, for a song that was one of the best backs in college football, but happened to get hurt. In a backup role here, you could do anything with that.
Yeah, it's possible. It's also possible that running back is one of those positions where you always have talent drop. It's really hard to know. I mean, obviously, the running back role has diminished over the past couple of years, so that's a big thing. But you also start looking at, okay, well, if that's truly the case, then are there going to be some good running backs that you can get as UDFAs and bring in? I think there's an argument there that you could. Mm-hmm. And looking at the RFA numbers, maybe they don't bring either of those guys back. I wouldn't like it, but it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah. If they are that cash strapped, you could see that possibly happen. Then again, they could choose not to put a tender out and allow that to lapse and bring them back really cheap. So
yeah.
And again, that goes to the volume of availability for the UDFAs out of the draft class as well. One way or the other, there will be another really cheap running back in this stable. I just think that you have to have somebody with a little bit more experience than Darwin has to be the backup for Clyde.
Agreed.
So that leaves them, you know, with a little bit tighter purse strings there. But it really does. At this position group, I think it is going to be about the cap that really makes some of these decisions, because they just don't invest that much money in this position. And we also have to remember that they just lost their position coach. This is going to be a new thing. And I don't know whether it's going to be somebody that Eric Bieniemy's worked with in the past or that feels he has a similar philosophy or what that's going to turn into. But that may play a role as well. New coaches will have new evaluations, and maybe that changes some of the way that they choose to go about what they do with these running backs.
Definitely could. And honestly, you know, like I said before, I think they bring Anthony Sherman back. I know we've kind of talked about the actual running backs. Now, if Sherman's a fullback, I think that they bring him back on the one-year deal type of thing that they've been doing over the past couple of seasons. I do think he's back, mainly for his special teams play, because they don't use him enough as a blocker or as a fullback.
Yeah, I agree. You know, every now and then he'll get something. He'll get an underhand touchdown or whatever. Or he'll, you know, he did pop a couple of things. Yeah, right? I mean, but it won't be heavy volume use unless they find themselves in the position where they have to switch things up. And I don't think that will happen until it happens. Like, if they find themselves with whatever they do with the offensive line, unable to protect Patrick when they get what I think will be a constant flow of cover two, cover four, cover six next year, maybe they have to readjust that, but they'll do it on the fly. That won't be an off-season thing in my mind. It'll have to be an immediate adjustment to what they're seeing on the field.
Yep.
Okay.
Nope, I agree with you. And it's going to be something that they're going to have to watch this season, because I do agree with you. I think that the teams are going to try to make them run the ball more. The problem that you're going to face is I still don't think Reed's going to go to that. I think that he's going to have the talent and devise. Here's the other thing that we haven't talked about in that regard. I think he's going to devise something that will allow them to continue to throw the ball in those situations and use that as more like a run. I think you could see more wide receiver screens. You could see more tight end screens and things like that that are more like a handoff that are technically a pass.
Yeah, then that's a very good point. And I think that requires a little bit more depth at tight end in particular, just to get some of those screen blocking.
Please.
We're going to talk about those guys on Friday, folks. Don't miss that one. But tomorrow, we're going to get into one of the premier positions on the defensive side and take a look at what the philosophy really is about this cornerback group, because there is a lot going on there. Not a ton of talent signed right now. They're losing several guys. We're going to have to go deep dive on the cornerbacks on this roster. Could be on this roster, could be drafted the whole nine yards. So don't miss tomorrow. We appreciate you spending today with us and spending your time listening. We will talk to you tomorrow. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.